Once upon a time, in a galaxy far, far away, Jason interviewed some pretty cool people. Here's one of those interviews now.
All right, it's Jay Stu and Sarah.
Hello from Fan Expo yet again.
Yes, hello from Fan Expo. We've run into our good friend, Sketchbook Comics' very own Jeff. How's it going, Jeff?
I'm awesome.
You should be awesome because you just got a really awesome Nightwing picture.
I did.
With the man who's with us right now, artist extraordinaire Jeremy Ahn. How's it going?
I'm a little bit less awesome than Jeff, but you know, I'm doing pretty well.
Nice. Now, currently, I believe you're working on a book called The Beauty?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. If you were trying to sell that book to someone, what's it all about?
The easy, fast pitch is it's about an STD that makes you beautiful.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's just a crazy story examining the lengths that we will go to be, quote, unquote, perfect. And in this world, it's as easy as just catching a little something.
Nice. All right. Now, what's the secret origin of the project? How did that come about?
A few years ago, I was working for Top Cow Comics, and I was out in L.A. visiting their offices. And, you know, in the States, L.A., it's full of beautiful people. People that, you know, that belong out there. You know, they're all, they work very hard to look the way that they do. And I was looking at all these people, thinking about that I needed to do more sit-ups and, you know, maybe get something done. But I was thinking about the lengths that they go to look that way. You've got surgeries, you've got crash diets, you've got crazy things that people do. You know, they, you know, if you have curly hair, you want straight hair. And we all live in this, but we have been brought up in a self-obsessed culture. We have magazines to support that. You know, we have all these things to tell us that we're not good enough. And I started thinking about the links that we go to, and the natural progression, because I'm a sick, weird bastard, is that I was like, well, what if you could catch something? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. What if you could, like, what if it was an STD? What if it, you know, like, what if you could get this thing, you know, through the kind of simplest of terms, you know, and typically with, you know, with that kind of transmitted infection, you know, you don't ever want that. You know, like, it's a thing that is the downside to one of the most enjoyable activities in the entire world. But people are trying not to get that much of that. What if you then, in turn, wanted to get this, needed to get this? How would that work? How would that change everything? How would that change, you know, everything from politics to religion to general social interaction? And so I ran with it. And, you know, then you start thinking about things like that, and you're like, well, there has to be a downside, because wish fulfillment only really works if you can't quite truly have that wish. And I got back from L.A., and I pitched the story to my good friend Jason Hurley. We talked about stuff and worked on stuff together, you know, over the years a bit. And we were just like, we've been talking that we needed to actually have a project that we truly sat down and did together, something more long form. And I pitched it to him, and he was like, yeah, we need to do that. And then it was on a this ride home from St. Louis. It was a 4-hour car ride. We were exhausted after a convention, but the way we kept ourselves up was talking about this project. And by the time that 4-hour car ride, by the time we got back, I had a decent amount of stuff kind of thought out beforehand, but, like, we nailed everything down by the end of that car ride. We knew the beats of the story. We knew the characters. We knew, you know, we started a conversation saying, yeah, you know, maybe it's some police detectives kind of thing. And by the time that we got back, we knew Foster and Vaughn, these characters, and how they interacted and what their world was like. And it was just ready to go.
Cool.
And it started as one of Top Cow's pilot season projects, wasn't
right.
it?
Yeah, they had been, you know, they knew that I wanted to write more. I'm mostly known as an artist.
Yeah.
Have been for years. And in comics, as with most things, you know, you only get, like, one thing that you get to be. You know, you're a writer, but you're not an artist, or you're a letterer, or you can't color, too, whatever it is. And I'm a storyteller. That's the way I really look at things. I have a lot of stories in me that I want to tell. Some I want to draw. Some I want to write. Some I want to do both on. It varies. And Top Cow knew that this was something that I was wanting to do. At the time, I was drawing The Darkness. And they said, maybe we'll, it's a pilot season thing. If you want to write it and draw it, let's go ahead and do that. And Harley and I had already been talking about this idea. We knew that we wanted to do it, so we pitched it to them, and they were like, yes, you need to do that one. That's really fucked up. And so, we agreed to do it and did it as part of pilot season. Ended up actually winning pilot season,
Wow.
Which is really cool. Philip Sablik and Matt Hawkins were there at Top Cow, and they were incredibly, encouraging of my career and what I was wanting to do. And it won pilot season, and I wanted to be able to finish the project at Top Cow. My contract ran up with Top Cow, and then, of course, being able to go on to the next. I went back to D.C. and worked for a while, and just my schedule did not allow for it. And we started talking about it, maybe finishing the book, getting back to it, what it ended up being quite a lot later. I talked with Matt at Top Cow about it. I was like, I'm trying to work towards maybe doing more creator-owned stuff. I know, Top Cow is a part of Image. And I was like, is it cool if I take it to Central so that we can do it there? And he gave us his blessing, and it was very, very encouraging. He works as a writer himself and knows how hard this game can be. And here we are.
That's very awesome.
Yeah.
Cool to see you doing more writing. I've been a fan of your art, so that's awesome.
You got to read his Narcoleptic Sunday.
Okay.
From Oni.
All right.
I spent a weekend pretending I was the artist for it.
Oh, really? Nice.
That's everything that I've ever done with writing has been just kind of a weird happenstance experience that I had a story in my head, and that one. We were at my in-laws and over the holidays, and it snowed, and we got stuck down there. And so I had a couple of, the power was off, a couple of candles, a few Mead notebooks, and a pen. And I wrote out this, 200-page original graphic novel about this guy that falls asleep at inopportune times.
Oh, wow.
And, it's a lot of fun.
Sounds awesome.
I didn't actually draw it.
Okay.
I just pretended to be that guy.
Nice. Now, like I said earlier, you drew this fantastic Nightwing picture for Jeff. Do you have a favorite character that you do like to draw, actually?
It varies. I love drawing. For a guy that draws a book about pretty people, I love drawing monsters and ugly things.
Oh, okay.
So, generally anytime that I can draw something kind of messed up looking, it's always my favorite. I love, I love anything that has, tentacles or wrinkles or whatever it is, the more the merrier.
Oh, that's awesome. And who were some of your influences, actually?
Creatively, honestly, most of my influences, they're art, especially, looks nothing like what I do. I would say my biggest influence creatively has always been Mike Mignola.
Oh, okay.
Hellboy.
Yeah.
I got into that at a very influential time in my career where I was looking at his stuff. The thing that I really remember that got me into his stuff was his first Cosmic Odyssey back in the day. His art on that was so weird, and it kind of came out, and it was ugly, and I didn't even really like it at first. He did this fill-in on X-Force sometime in there, and I remember all of my friends, they were really pissed off that Liefeld took an issue off, and then this weird guy, this bizarre
stuff. I remember
stuff.
That.
And I loved it. I just thought it was the coolest looking stuff. And then
it had the six-pack and stuff in it.
Yeah. It was weird, and his his design sense is perfect all the time. He went in and then did Hellboy, and Hellboy was kind of like the aside from Constantine, was kind of the series that I've always, stuck with on every single thing.
Yeah.
Hellboy. I actually I buy Hellboy in every format that it comes out in. So, like, I have the original singles, I have the trade paperbacks, I have the hardcovers, I have the oversized hardcover. You know, I'm an idiot when it comes to it. I just keep buying this stuff. But there's something about his career, you know, and you look at, you know, other guys, you know, you start looking at guys like Wally Wood to Walt Simonson to Jack Kirby, you know, you might not be able to see that stuff in my work at all,
right?
But there are people that I think about a lot, and just the way that they tell stories. And the way they
tell. Very cool. And can I ask you what sorts of things you geek out about?
What do I not geek out about? we live in a perfect, you know, a perfect time in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I'm 40 now, and whenever I was a kid, you know, you could have Legos, but there wasn't Star Wars Legos and DC and Marvel Legos,
yeah.
And Lord of the Rings Legos, and all these things. Now there are all of those things and more. You know, I have a Back to the Future set. I've got a Doctor Who set. You know, I've got all the. It's perfect. I've got an Ecto-1. You know,
so do I.
Yeah, all these things. You know, like So you know, Lego is something that I always love. You know, I still, you know, in an age where I think a lot of my friends, you know, kind of have gotten to the point where they are reading fewer and fewer comics. I'm probably reading more comics than ever. You know, I love all the creator-owned stuff that's coming out. Image Comics, you know, I worked with the company, but, like, I love it. I find that there's more talent and more creativity coming out of that right now than ever. You know, I geek out about movies.
You say you're a big horror movie guy, too.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I watch them constantly. I watch the good ones, I watch the bad ones, everything in between, and,
Between you and Hurley, who watches the worst ones?
You know, oddly, to be honest with you, we just basically cross-pollinate one another.
Fair enough.
You know, we just switch back and forth. I hand him a really bad one or a really good one, and, you know, we just watched this one separately, but then we were talking about it later, realizing that we both watched it called Deathgasm.
Oh, jeez.
And it's just maybe Australian, maybe New Zealand, but it's this ultra, ultra violent goof thing about the mix of metal and horror stuff.
Oh, wow.
Demon possessed death metal kind of stuff. It's, you know, I watch them all, and when I think we're in a competition to see who can watch the shittiest stuff.
Yeah.
We just watched the sequel to Lava Lantula.
Really?
And the title was Two Lava, Two Lantula.
Nice.
Yeah. It was nice. Pretty bad. Steve Guttenberg was the star.
Oh, good. Yeah, his career's moving along well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously progressing on an upward, you know, slope. It's rolling.
I want to suggest a movie to Jeremy. Have you ever seen Black Sheep?
Yes.
Okay. But yes. Never mind. I won't suggest it.
No, but that's...
It's one of those absurd, weird, funny horror movies that you can't stop watching it because you're like, did somebody really write this? And it's brilliant.
Well, those are the best kind. I think that like something you watch and you're like, this is so weird and it really shouldn't exist, but it does. And,
yes.
and it's great for it.
And we have the New Zealanders to thank for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just glad that you're out there suggesting that to anybody.
Yeah.
Black Sheep. Behind the Mask is a really good one. It's the Behind the Mask, the rise of Leslie Vernon. It's basically a documentary. A documentary crew is following around a serial killer, and they're interviewing him. And he's like this affable kind of guy who also is a slasher.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But then the story progresses, and it takes these amazing turns and becomes this whole other thing. And I bought it on a whim. My assistant and I, we were having to work. We had a deadline, and I was like, let's just go to the store. I'll buy a couple of really cheesy horror movies. It was super late. Everything else was closed.
Was it a gas station?
In the States, we have a Walmart on every
fair point. Yeah.
And they're always open, and so, you know, I think we got it there. But yeah, that's another fun one where it's just like, I like the ones that come out of nowhere. You look at it and you're like, that shouldn't exist. A documentary about a slasher, that's ridiculous. And then it ends up being great, and you're like, okay, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Final Girls is another one.
Okay.
It's fairly new. It's basically about a group of kids that get pulled into a slasher film, and then they have to work and live and die within the slasher film according to the rules of that slasher film. And if they don't do what you're supposed to do, like, within the context of it, it just kind of starts again in an hour and a half. And then they come by, and you just have to wait that hour and a half, and then it happens again and again. And it's really fantastic. It's a lot of fun. Alan Ackerman's in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll definitely have to check that out. Hey, Jeremy, thanks a lot for taking the time. Jeff's told us so many awesome things about you, and it was great to meet you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Glad I could blather about weird movies and stuff.
No problem. And have a great rest of the con, too.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.